Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Pneumaticoff. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Correlation of Nutrient-Dense Spiritual Nutrition to Optimal Spiritual Growth. I know that's a mouthful, is it not? And I'm going to be speaking from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is one of my most cherished psalms of the Bible. Psalm 119 is a powerhouse, or let me say it is a superfood psalm. And with that statement, I'm going to begin reading at verse 131. Psalm 119, verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted, longing for your command. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your Shem, to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word in law. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of Adam. In the English, of course, it means of men. That I may obey your precepts or your direction. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decree. The word decrees means orders. Teach me your orders. So, I want to carefully explore the language of the writer. I want to carefully explore what the Spirit of God has led this very deep pneumaticoff individual or spiritual individual to right. And one can easily see that this is from the writer's own experience with God. And so we're given insight into this writer's relationship with God through the Spirit of God. And it is interesting to me always the very powerful non-Western pictures, word pictures, derived from Hebrew pictograms that are dispersed throughout the wonderful Old Testament documents. And so in verse 131, we read once again, I open my mouth. And pant longing for your command. And so the word command here is sava. There is within the heart of the individual to have a well-ordered soul or need. The Word of God brings order where there has been no order or where there has been chaos or the personality is in the process of dissolving away under the weight of oppressive beliefs. You and I well know that the heart begins to dissolve, or the nefesh, the soul begins to dissolve away when an individual's and when an individual has been exposed to a lie or lies, or when an individual has been subjected to heinous abuse. For instance, in the case of those individuals who were sexually abused as children, and one hears from them the frightening belief that somehow they cause these very nefarious actions upon their persons. So a lie becomes that individual's truth. The Word of God can go into areas where oftentimes you and I cannot know. The Word of God meets the heart with understanding and love. The Word of God is very gentle with those who have been exposed to such abuse. And God goes into that heart that has been disordered. And God brings His truth. Think about those who have been subjected to verbal abuse and who have organized, in a manner of speaking, their hearts and their lives around that abuse. Anger, the outbursts of rage, the unsettlement, the hyper-alertness or awareness. Because one does not know when an outburst is going to happen or likely to occur. And so one tries to control events around the person who rages so that there would be no incident that comes about that would precipitate another rage event. Word of God, again, and bring water to the heart that has been exposed to chaos. Now, I want you to note, once again, in Psalm 119:131, that the writer says, I open my mouth and pant, longing for your command. In the Western world, one would think, or the writer might say, I open my mind or my intelligence, always the prominence of the cognitive element, as if the cognitive element denotes the whole person. Well, this is a prejudice. This is the epistemological prejudice of Cartesian dualism, which unfortunately sought to divide up the mind and the soul, or the mind and the body. The Old Testament documents know of no such dualism. In the Old Testament documents, there is a unitary view of the person. So there is no mind-body dualism. There is mind-body correlation. There is the understanding that what goes on in the soul or in the nefesh has a direct effect upon the body. And so the Old Testament wisdom literature, for instance, present a very powerful understanding of ancient and Near Eastern wisdom literature. And the Proverbs, the Book of Proverbs, emphasizes wisdom as foundational for success in life. Indeed, the term Proverbs is a transliteration of the Hebrew word mashal, which literally means superior middle action for successful living. So there is considerable evidence in Proverbs to demonstrate the dynamic synergy of the spiritual and the contemporary emerging paradigms of science and biobehavioral medicine. Proverbs elucidate the power of cognition or thought to create either positive or negative conscious states, or the vital necessity of choosing healthy thinking over negative and self-destructive thinking. For instance, within the ancient clinical wisdom of the Proverbs, you have this compelling statement: a sound heart gives life to the body, but envy, or that is jealousy, rots the bones. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart, or med in the Hebrew, sound heart, or a healthy heart, speaking of the inward person, the spiritual person. And how does one, or how is one to achieve sound heart in the Old Testament world? Well, in Psalm 119, 131, we have the powerful word picture given by the psalmist. My mouth and hand, shafah. I open my page or mouth and pant longing for your shafah, for your command. And so, the word picture of the opening of the mouth denotes the physical intake of nutrient-rich foods. In the Greek, the word is stoma, the mouth, stoma. And so, in the Hebrew here, we have the writer gives us a picture of the inculcation or receiving of the words of God through the mouth. And the spiritual word picture denotes that the reception of the word of God into the spiritual mouth means that the individual is intaking the nutrient-dense spiritual, or the nutrient-dense word of God. So as to build up the spiritual tissues, so as to provide the what is necessary for the soul. Soul has apertures or openings, so the soul must of necessity receive spiritual nutrition. Now, the spirituality that we have in the Old Testament and in the New Testament are not the spiritual. Spirituality that is currently being packaged as spirituality in the West, a generic sort of spirituality. Spirituality that we have in the Old Testament has to do the relationship. And so this writer states, I open my mouth. That's powerful for the intake of your spiritual superfood. And the Word of God is spiritual superfood. It is complete in every way. And so the Word of God teaches that optimal spiritual health begins with, and growth begins with, algorithms, spiritual nutrition. Now, when the individual who has been taking the Word of God, or if there has been a spiritual wound in the heart, the Word of God addresses. And so, wound healing is addressed in the Word of God. Because the Word of God speaks to me about my reaction when I have been sinned again. The Word of God cautions me. The Word of God tells me not to go down a certain path or not to have a certain attitude toward an individual who has wounded beyond purpose, or maybe the individual has inadvertently wounded me in some manner. So it becomes negligence. And am I to react to that in a negative way, or am I to address what has happened to the Word of God? Well, I'm to address that wounding event or the events through the Word of God. I am to forgive when I must forgive. I must release others from a debt that can never be paid. This is the idea. This is the biblical understanding. Forgive. Long before there was a forgiveness research project, in the Word of God, there were teaching that addressed wound healing, forgiveness. The Word of God speaks to me about my own anger, my abiding state of anger. There are people who are angry today who don't even know. Word of God, there's the outbursts of rage. And in Paul's letter to Ephesians, he deals with a particular word in the Greek that speaks about being out of one's mind. The thing, he says, Paul writes, that is not to be the case for a pneumatikos, for a spiritual life. That is not to be the case for a believer, to be a believing one, to be out of one's mind with anger. Where God addresses temptation to have no faith, to be spiritually unfaithful to God, or to be spiritually and physically unfaithful to God, or to be spiritually and physically unfaithful to one's spouse. The book of Malachi deals extensively with this. Me, it is extensive because when one spends a considerable amount of time in the Word, then one is built up. That is, one, the tissues of the soul are built up. The ligaments of the soul, the joints of the soul. If the soul had stout, which is not, but the very apparatus of the inner workings of the cells, we know today that throughout the body there is neurological tissue, and that what happens in the soul happens throughout the body. What happens to me is not merely experienced by my brain. It is experienced by my entire being. So this writer understands the necessity of the Word of God. I open my mouth and pant. I love that. It's famished. This writer does not want spiritual fast food. This writer does not want self-help. Writer wants God, wants God's Word. I open my mouth, para. It's given in the active voice. I open my mouth and pant. And here this word pant, shafa. Shafa is in the Cal imperative. Simple Latin. But notice, it is stated in the imperative, longing, and the word here, longing, is in the Cal part. Isn't that incredible? And so note the way the verses is put together. I open my mouth and pant, Cal imperative, shafa, longing, Cal imperfect, Cal perfect, longing for your command. Bavah. Bavah is the primitive root word. Here is the word is mitzvah or command. Mitzvah. So in 132, the writer says to God, turn to me, Ya'ab, Ya'ab. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct, and here the word direct is what we call is in the field, and it is called and it is given in the imperative mood. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Direct my footsteps according to the word or my steps. So he goes on. Let no Alan or sin. The words in the New Testament and the New that have been transliterated as the general term sin in both the Old Testament documents and the New Testament documents denotes a specific nuance regarding sin. And so, but as the words come over to us, we get the sense of a general nature with regard to sin. No, but that there are specific nuance that the word of God addresses in both the Old Testament and let no sin move or have mass. And again, this is still imperative. There's rule over me. So, what does the writer want? Well, the writer wants to intake the Word of God. The writer wants the Word of God. He opens his mouth and pants for the Word of God to come in to his soul. So as to build him up spiritually. He wants spiritual nutrition. He wants nutrient-rich, nutrient-dense spiritual nutrition from the Word of God. Blessed what? Which is his attitude. As attitudes are very powerful. An attitude is a subtle way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. And an attitude is typically reflected in a person's demeanor or behavior. So once again, an attitude is a subtle way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Please note that an attitude embraces the entire person. An attitude can create a sense of spiritual health and wellness, or an attitude can create disease, spiritual disease, spiritual distress. A physician in my area, where I live, who dealt with end-of-life care, wanted to know why these individuals or those who are in the process of dying, why would they give it so much morphine? And he noted and that these persons were in spiritual distress. So they wanted spiritual answers for the end of life. And I thought that this is very powerful. And I thought of how important the Word of God is throughout the lifespan, and how significant it is that we get away from the mere cognitive and that we do away with Cartesian dualism and its lie and its prejudice for the cognitive, and understanding that the individual requires chachma or wisdom. Wisdom is what the writer longs for. And the Hebrew word for heart, once again, is lev, or we use nefesh, and it means the inner person or the spiritual essence, embracing the mind, emotion, conscience, which in the Greek New Testament is defined as the witness within, very powerful. To stand against one's conscience, unconscionable. And those who sin against their conscience destroy conscience, so their behavior can't be unconscionable. So the inner person, or the spiritual essence, embracing the mind, emotions, conscience, and the Hebrew or led, or the inner person. I would like, and I'm going to continue this topic on spiritual nutrition and optimal spiritual growth, because I believe that in the West, it's time to make a drastic change for the Word of God and seek for God so that we can turn our vision around, beginning with ourselves, our home, our local, and national as well. My name is Dr. Cyrich. God bless you, and you have a wonderful day. Tune in again to the Matter of God.